And now let us hear the reading of the Word of God from the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Two interesting little parables, both of which deal with prayer. Each of which, however, gives a different slant and emphasis in the matter of prayer. And so he spoke this parable to them, that people should always pray and never grow weary of it. And he said, there was a certain judge in a city who did not have any respect for God, nor did he have any respect for man either. And there was also in this city a certain widow who kept coming to him, this judge, and kept saying, give me my legal rights against my enemy. And for a good while, he did not do anything about it. And after this, he said to himself, after the woman came over and over and over again, though I do not fear God and have no respect for men, lest this woman completely wear me out, I will give her her request in order that she keep coming, stop coming back here to trouble me. And so the Lord said, hear what the judge says. And this is the lesson of this parable now. Will not God speedily avenge the request of his elect who cry unto him day and night? And then the next parable. He said to certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and yet they despised others, this is the story he told them. Two men went up to the temple to offer their prayers. One was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed these things to himself. Notice the text says to himself. He wasn't praying to God. He was simply praying to hear himself. God, I thank thee that I am not like the other people. They're extortioners. They're unjust. They are adulterers. Or even as yon publican standing over there. Why, I fast two times in the week, and tithes of everything that I have I offer to thee. But the publican, standing way over yonder, did not even want to lift his eyes to heaven, but kept beating on his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. And I tell you, therefore, that this man went down to his house justified. Right? Every man who exalts himself shall be humbled. But every man who humbles himself shall be exalted. The first parable dealing with the persistency of prayer is sometimes misunderstood. Jesus is not saying that God answers our prayers, that we keep praying to him because he gets tired of hearing us, and in order to get rid of having to hear our prayers, he grants our requests. That is not the point, of course. The point is that the woman kept coming over and over and over again. The persistency of prayer is a very basic element of true biblical prayer. God never promises to answer just the punctiliar prayer offered perhaps in a half second when we had need and never think of him at any other time. He never promises any answer to that, though he may. But the scripture injunction is over and over and over again. This is the meaning that Jesus attaches to his statement in the Sermon on the Mount. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Now, he's talking about prayer. But in English, when you say ask, it may mean ask one time or two times. Knock one time or two times. Seek one time or two times or whatever. But the original text says keep on. Over and over again asking. Over and over again. Persistent. And it's something of what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, pray without ceasing. Now, I do not understand the theology of this. I'll just be frank with you. unless it is that as we persistently pray, we are automatically showing our faith and our trust in God. Not just the opposite, but we trust Him. Therefore, we keep making our entreaties to Him. But it is, whether we understand it or not, a biblical principle that prayer is offered persistently over and over again. In the other parable, the emphasis is on an attitude of prayer, not the time element that we spend in prayer, but an attitude. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee. And notice that it says the Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself. The first thing I want to comment about is that the text says that he stood, this Pharisee. Well, that's not unusual because in Bible times most prayers were engaged in while standing. And so I don't think there's anything unusual about this. Though, as I've reminded some of you before, one of the ancient editions of the Confession of Faith, which I grew up with years ago, are those black copies, everything that religious was clothed in black in those days, even the preacher. That Confession of Faith says that prayer is to be made standing. And the scripture quotation they give to prove it, the Confession of Faith always had a proof text, was this very passage here. If they had just said that the publican stood, but they didn't call us that. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, unwittingly calling all Presbyterians Pharisees. But they were engaged in trying to show that the only proper attitude in prayer is standing. Of course, we know better. And before now I go to the real essence of the real attitude of prayer concerning the publican's prayer, I'm going to take the liberty of reading a little skit that I don't believe I could exactly get by with in a morning formal service that the session might have me up for trial. But this is a little thing that a man by the name of Dr. Sam Walter Foss wrote. And it is the prayer, entitled The Prayer of Cyrus Brown. And I trust you'll hear me with understanding. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt, upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hand should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing to the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year, I fell in Hodgkin's well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels are sticking up and my head are planking down. And I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, standing on my head. Well, that perhaps too much on the light side, but the thing that I'm trying to get at is that prayer, nowhere in the scripture, is requiring any particular posture. And I'm glad. But it does require persistency, which is an index of our faith, and it requires an humble attitude. We do not come to God saying, this is what I want, this is my want, this now, I want it by tomorrow morning. Too often, people approach the throne of grace that way. But now let's look just for a moment at the publican. He was the hated man in Jesus' day. He was the man who was hired by the Roman Empire, the overlords of the Jewish people. He was hired to collect the taxes from his own people, the Jews. And naturally we can see how the Jews hated the publican. and he had a hard life to live. But here is a publican, name not given. We're not necessarily to think that this was an actual occurrence, but simply a lovely illustration by our Lord, where this publican, who knew that he was a hated man, yet as he stood before God, you'll note this about him. He kept smiting upon his breast. He was a theologian. He knew where his trouble was in his heart. He kept beating on his breast and kept saying, "Lord, do have mercy on me, for I am the sinner." Briefly, I simply want to say that that's the prayer par excellence. When a man comes to God without arrogance, but with humility, confession, acknowledging his need, acknowledging the fact that if it were not for God's grace, he could not make it at all. "Have mercy on me, the sinner." Have you ever really thought seriously about being sure that your prayers at least have this kind of attitude as a characteristic? I fear that too often our prayers are not only light and flippant and perhaps dictatorial, but this man's prayer, "I don't have any right even to lift my eyes to heaven, but gracious God, be merciful to me." I don't know, but I have a feeling that Jesus might well have been thinking about David in the 51st Psalm, the opening verses, where David was so contrite and sorrow-smitten because of his guilt and sin in sinning with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. Because you notice that the first opening verses of that 51st Psalm, David's confession, really, in a sense of the word, are the very same in sentiment as this publican made. Said David, "Oh, Yahweh, Lord, have mercy upon me. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. For against thee, thee only, have I sinned." My friends, the man, whether he's publican, Pharisee, president, or ditch digger, the man who prays that way is the man who shall receive the blessing from the Lord. "Have mercy upon me, the sinner."